Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
So 133-882, that is the number for the $50 voucher. If you want to win, thanks to the Bottle-O, then you can call through and give us who wins and how many votes. Ben in Baldivis is going to be first. Good evening, Ben.
Yeah, mate, how you going?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, mate, I reckon Ollie Wines at 34 votes is my tip.
Ollie Wines, 34 votes. So there's only 66 votes available, Hayes. What do you think? Is he going to be close to the mark?
Yep.
You do?
I think he can get 31.
You think he's going to get over 30?
Yep.
Righto. Let's go to Richard in Bull Creek. G'day, Richard. What do you think?
How you going, boys? I reckon it's going to be a tie in between Fontempelli and... Ollie Wines at 28 votes and Jack
Steele will
get 27.
So you've gone the old trifecta right there. Well, stay listening because we will see from our expert, because Jake Michaels has spent a fair bit of time doing this. So we had a little bit of a look at his phantom Brownlow predictor and we thought, let's get him on the program and get him to explain it to our audience. Let's go to Mark and East Frio, who joins us. Mark, g'day.
I'm going for an outsider. I reckon Jack Steele will win it by about 2 votes. I think all the other favourites at the Bulldogs in Melbourne will be pinching votes off each other, so they won't get enough to win.
All right. So how many votes for Jack Steele?
I'd say about 30.
30 votes for Jack Steele. All right, well, we'll see what our next guest has to say when it comes to that, because he will join us right now. Jake Michaels, who joins us from ESPN Sports. He's a journo there, and he's done the Phantom Brownlow Predictor. Jake, how are you, mate? Good evening.
Yeah, I'm well, guys. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Yeah, we're going really well, mate. Now, just tell us, because your formula is a little bit different to the traditional 3-2-1 Brownlow, and obviously Hayes and I are across the way that you structure this, but just for our audience to explain it to them, after each round, exactly how are your votes allocated?
Yeah, okay. So as I'm sure a lot of people are probably used to, it's that 3-2-1 style, which obviously is what the umpires give, but you kind of have a fair margin for error there. So the reason I sort of came up with a different idea was to reduce that margin of error. So over the course of the season, you're more likely to get an accurate result. So what I've done was I actually go into decimal points of a vote. So I can give half a vote. And I actually do a second predictor, which doesn't go online, which gives quarter votes as well. So, for example, if I think there are two players that have been standouts, but it's very difficult to split them, they'll both get 2.5, as opposed to giving one 3 and the other 2 and potentially being wrong the other way around. So worst case scenario, my way is you're half a vote off as opposed to being a full 1 vote off. And again, over the course of the season, you're reducing your margin of error quite significantly.
And Jake, how successful has this style been in recent years?
Well, it's been pretty successful. So I actually started in 2014. That was the first year I did it. And believe it or not, I actually did predict Matt Prittis to win it. A lot of people are quite surprised about that because it was a bit of an upset. And I thought I was pretty good after nailing that one. But the following year, I failed dramatically with Nat Fyfe. I didn't get that one right. And that's when I sort of thought, right, I really want to try and nail how I do this and get it as perfect as it can be, tweaked a few things and the way I actually do it. And since 2016, I have got them all right. Having said that, they have been reasonable. Every year it's been a significant favourite. So this year is going to be the real test, I think.
Nat Fyfe, I remember that year. He got a lot of votes and they were a bit unexpected. I didn't think he was the best player in the competition that season. So I understand that. But what have you come up with this year? Give us your top five.
All right. So we'll start with five. Sorry, my computer's just going slow. So I've got Tuke Miller on 27.5, which might surprise a few people. I think I've got him a couple of votes higher than what a lot of the other predictors have. And then it gets really tight at the top four. So I've got Marcus Fontempelli on 30, Jack Steele on 31, tied with Clayton Oliver, also on 31. And I've got Ollie Wines winning it on 32. So, I mean, I've never seen, certainly the years I've been doing it, I've never had the top sort of two this close, let alone the top four split by 2 votes. I think with Wines, Oliver and Steele all in contention to pick up the 3 in round 23, it's going to come down right to the wire.
How much weighting do you give for goal-kicking midfielders? Does that help get some of them across the line? Wines had a good season forward of centre, as did Bontempelli.
Yeah, it does. I think at the end of the day, you can look at any kind of numbers and stats and data and analysis. At the end of the day, it's the umpires making these calls, and they're humans, and we know that their focus for the game isn't to find the 3-2-1 for the Brownlow. It's to adjudicate the game. So you've got to realise that it's not a computer that's spitting this out, the actual votes. So you kind of got to take that into consideration. So players like Mark Bontempelli, and you can go back through the history and see who polls well in the Brownlow, not necessarily the winners, but just players that do poll well. And it is players that kick goals. It's players that can burst away from the stoppage. And the other thing I think we've seen in recent years with Lachie Neale and Tom Mitchell in particular is players who win a lot of the ball do poll really well.
All right. On that basis, nobody's won more footy in the history of the game in a season than Jack McRae. Where do you have him with how many votes?
Yeah, so McRae was an interesting one. It's very hard to sort of go with McRae because there are games where I think he could poll significantly well, and then there are other games where he probably played his better footy in some of the games where someone like the Bont played well too, so he's probably getting a few votes stolen off him, as the people like to say. But I've only got him on 19.5, which is, look, it's right on the cusp of where a lot of people probably expect him to be. But having, as you said, having that season, you'd probably expect him to be a little bit higher. Would I be surprised if he polled in the low to mid-20s? Probably not. But, yeah, I've got him 19.5 and just on the cusp of the top 10.
Righto. I've got to ask you about this bloke because you described the player who bursts away from the contest, who gets a lot of the footy, 29 times, average 5 marks, 4.1 tackles. He kicked 27 goals, 18 from the middle. His name is Christian Petrarca, yet he doesn't feature in your top 5.
No, he's 6. So he's right there. He's just behind Miller. I've got him on 25, and again, that's pretty consistent with what I'm seeing from other predictors and all that sort of stuff. Don't know if he can win it. In fact, I would say he probably can't win it, but he could certainly feature fifth. I think fifth or fourth would probably be as high as I think Petrarca can go, but he's had a fantastic season. And as you say, like the Bont too, just that breakaway from the middle, ability to kick goals, it's what the umpires notice. And it'll be interesting to see with the games that Petrarca and Oliver both played well, which way the umpires go with the three.
Who gets the most votes for the West Coast Eagles?
Oh, now this is really tough. Everyone loves the team by team votes. It's always a popular one. The West Coast, I think, is probably the hardest one. There's a few in contention here. I've got Dom Sheed on 10.5, and ahead of Tim Kelly on 8.5. But gee, it's pretty close. I know Andrew Gaff can poll pretty well. Nick Natanui is a bit of an unknown because he does play good. He does play some really good games, and we just but do Ruckman get rewarded by the votes, as we've seen going back to that year with Gorn and Grundy, that everyone thought they were going to be top sort of three, and they didn't poll as well as expected. So look, I'll go with Sheed, but I think the West of all the teams, I think West Coast is probably the toughest one to pick.
Okay,
for the player
Fremantle, I think Andrew Brayshaw should be closer in the market than what David Mundy is. But what are you telling everybody?
Yeah, Mundy, I've got Mundy on top, and I've got Mundy on 20, but there are a few other things. I've done a bit of other research afterwards, which isn't on my predictor, and I've done a little bit of an adjustment in my sort of calculations. I agree with you. I think Andrew Brayshaw is a real chance to crack the top 20, and Sean Darcy too. Again, going back to the Ruckman sort of thing, we're always unsure how Ruckman are going to poll. But I think Sean Darcy, in the second half of the year, he had some games that were fantastic. I wouldn't be surprised if he picked up a couple of three voters. But, yeah, I think Brayshaw will be close, but it's hard to go past Mundy, particularly after that first half of the season that he has.
So, Jake, Wines to win from Oliver and Steele, who tied for second, and Bontempelli to come up in fourth place. Tuke Miller, who is ineligible, of course, for the award, as is Andrew Brayshaw, because they got suspended with 27.5 in fifth place. Thanks for your time tonight, mate, and thanks for joining us here on Sports Day.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Good on you. Jake Michaels there, ESPN. He's got them all right since 2016, and he got 2014's winner, Matt Prittis. Who is your favourite, and how many votes? 133-882. A couple of the ladies are joining in. Danielle and Hillary's. G'day.
I should say, not good morning.
How are you? Hello. All right? You going well?
Yeah, I'm good. Yes, really good. My...
Oh, you're cutting out, Danielle.
We've
lost you, so maybe just move around, do a little pirouette and just give it another go.
Hello?
Yeah, we've got you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can, yep.
I'm just wondering, I'm thinking it's Jack Steele and 28 points.
Righto, Jack Steele, 28. So there's a couple. Mark and Ace Freo said 30. Thanks, Danielle. Good luck to you. $50 voucher thanks to the Bottle-O. And everyone that calls through is going to into our random draw to win the ultimate at-home grand final party pack. If you're not going to the grand final, then you can at least enjoy a little party on us here on Sports Day. To Stella in Sorrento. G'day, Stella.
Good evening, fellas. How are you going?
We're good.
That's good. My tip is a dual medalist with Marcus Bontempelli and Ollie Wines, and I'm picking 29 votes.
So Richard went 28. So Stella's gone 29. It's interesting, isn't it?
Oh, it's close.
It is going to be.
When you look at the numbers that he gave, 32, 31, 30, 27, we just haven't had one like this.
No, we haven't. And let's hope that the ladies are right. If anyone would like to join in and give us your thoughts, we'd love to take your calls. We'll clear a commitment. We'll come back with more of Sports Day. Just some quick news for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand. Jamie Carr launches Supreme Court action to clear her name, saying she did not lie to stewards in the Airbnb probe. She was banned for an extra 8 weeks for giving false and or misleading evidence to stewards. That means she can't ride at this point until late January, which is a huge penalty. And she had been absolutely starring in the saddle over there in Victoria. It's 28 after 6.